Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples and even to us as well. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, and when he was ascending to heaven, he gave these words in Matthew chapter 28:18-20. He says, "All authority has been given to me. So, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything, all things I have commanded to you. Behold, I'll be with you always." So in this Great Commission, you will find four alls, all authority and always. That's what Jesus is going to do. And you need to, there are two other alls, all nations. You need to make disciples of all nations and you need to teach everything, all things I have commanded to you. So all authority, all nations, all commands, and all the time, always. Okay, so four alls. Now in today's passage, we're going to look at another four alls. Today's passage is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. So in that, you will see another always, and all men, and all things, and beyond all comprehension. So now let's look at today's passage from Philippians 4, 4 through 8. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Amen. Amen. This is God's powerful word. Now, let's look at verse 4 again. It really talks about rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Paul is saying rejoice, not just one time, two times. Rejoice, rejoice. Meaning that he is emphasizing rejoicing. Now here, this is an imperative. This is not an option like, okay, you can rejoice if you want to. No, it says rejoice. This is a command. Well, not just Paul is saying to us, but this is really what God is saying, because God wants us to rejoice. Now, what kind of situation Paul was? Was he in a vacation, in a beach? No, he was in a very difficult situation. This letter that Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, he was writing from the prison in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul was saying the gospel was even more progressed, more advanced in my imprisonment. You see that Paul was in a prison, yet the gospel was progressing, was spreading even more. So Paul was praising God even in that situation. Now, can you really do that? Can you really rejoice in all the time? It will be very difficult if you are going through a very tough time, just like these days. However, God is giving us all the reasons why we need to be joyful. And all the time. Now notice the word here, the first all here, all the time. It doesn't say you can rejoice sometimes, you know, when you're having a great time, when you have a pay raise, and when you have a grandchildren, and when everything is going well, you can be rejoicing. But when things are not going well, like one of your grandchildren got sick, or when you get fired, and when you get through all this, in a crisis in your life, you don't have to be joyful. No, it doesn't say that. It says always, all the time. Now, I want to make the connection with the Great Commission here. Now, Jesus says in his Great Commission, "Behold, I'll be with you always, all the time." Jesus is saying that when you are going through a good time or a bad time or whatever you're going through, I'll be with you all the time. His presence, no matter what. So because of that, we need to be joyful. We need to rejoice all the time, even in the prison or outside of prison, online, in person, without job or with promotion, whatever we go through, we must rejoice all the time because of His presence with us. We have so many things God has blessed, even through this pandemic. Because of pandemic, you know, we are here meeting online. However, we doubled up in our baptisms. We doubled up our leaders. You know, even in our church, God is doing something even greater than last year, even in this situation, right? So no matter what we are going through, we need to praise the Lord. Count the blessings that God has given you. Now, the next one is verse 5. We need to be gentle to all men. So let's look at verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. So it says, be gentle. Show your gentleness to all men. It doesn't say you can show gentleness to some people that you like, or you should be hostile to people that you don't like. It says you should show gentleness to all men, okay? All people, whether you like them or not. Now, why do we have to do that? It says, because the Lord is near. What does that mean? Jesus is coming. Because of His coming, we need to show our love and gentleness to all people. How does that work, right? You know, in many parts in the Bible, it really shows the connection. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24, 25, also encourages us to love one another because the Lord is coming. His coming is near. In James chapter 1 starts with this, that do not fight. You fight because of your lust, your selfishness. And if you go, when you go down to verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You see the connection there? The love for other people and coming of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus' coming, instead of being nervous or instead of being showing hatred to one another or being sensitive to one another, we need to love one another even more. Okay. Now, when end time is near, people will say, okay, I'm going to get toilet paper right now, and I'm going to get all the things that I need for me and for my wife, and they're not really thinking about other people. But no, that's not what Christians do. We need to love one another, even show more gentleness, because Jesus is coming soon. Now, I want to make the connection with the Great Commission again. Jesus calls us to go and make disciples of all nations. You know, He didn't say, okay, make disciples of Asians only, or Africans only, or Brazilians only. No, all people, all nations. So think about this. You know, because Jesus is coming soon, we need to be gentle to some people. No, all people, you know, so that, you know, they can see, hear the love of Christ. All nations will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see that connection? Let's be gentle to other people. Instead of being angry, or instead of being sensitive to one another or hostile to each other, let's show Christ's love in our action, in our life, through our verbal proclamation, so that more people would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that the all nations will hear Jesus, and they will become 21st century Moses. They would become discipled. Okay, so that's the second part. And then the third part is in the verse 6, says, pray in all things, pray in everything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Amen. Let me read this verse one more time. And when I read this verse, I want you to think very deeply and put this verse in your heart. Be anxious for nothing, which means you should not worry. You should not be anxious for anything. But in everything, in all things, by prayer and supplication, which is petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God says, do not be afraid. Fear not. In Matthew 6, 25 through 27 also says, do not worry about anything. You are more precious than all the things that you see in the nature. You are made in the image of God. And God has sent His only Son to provide Himself to save you, to forgive you. And you are that valuable before God. But if you're anxious about anything, that means that you are not really knowing who God is. You are not really trusting the God who made you, the God who sent His Son for you. Because of who God is, we need to be anxious in nothing, zero. So instead of worrying about things, we can transfer those things in our prayer to God. But here's a very important thing. When you pray, you need to pray with thanksgiving. There are some people who pray, that's good, but they pray with doubt. Have you done that? Have you in that place? You prayed for something, but in your heart, back in your mind, it's like, okay, I'm not really sure if God will listen to me. Or you may say, oh, I pray right now, but I'm not really sure if God really exists. There are some people like that, and I used to pray that way. But when you pray, you need to pray with thanksgiving, meaning that you acknowledge that God is there. Number two, you acknowledge that God is powerful, so He is able to not only to listen to your prayer, but answer your prayer. In James chapter 5, verse 17, amazing verse that Elijah prayed. He was just like us. He was just a human being. But when he prayed, God answered his prayer. God showed amazing miracle, even through the nature. He is good. He is powerful. He listens to your prayer, and He answers your prayer. Now, let's make that connection to the Great Commission. Jesus says, teach everything that I have commanded you, which means that we should not pick and choose what we want to teach. Like, oh, I like this passage, so I'm going to teach this. I don't like this passage, so I'm not. No. Jesus is saying, teach everything, whether you like it or not, teach. Because it is my word. It is God's word. So that's one of the reasons why we're going through a 70 days journey to the Bible, starting from the book of Genesis to Revelation. Some people say the Old Testament is boring. I like the New Testament better, so I'm going to teach from New Testament. No. You need to teach all of them, because the whole Bible is the whole counsel of God's word. We need to bring all the word of God to the people. That is the Great Commission. Now, likewise, in prayer, you pray. In everything, you pray to God with thanksgiving. Prayer and the word, right? Just like in the book of Acts chapter 6, 4. We want to devote ourselves to the prayer and the word. In everything, pray. And teach everything Jesus Christ commanded us to do. Teach. So that people can see wonderful works of God and the wonderful word of God. So when we do all these things, what happened? That is the next one, which is verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So this is the outcome. When you pray with thanksgiving and all of that, what happens? The peace of God, shalom of God, will guard your heart. Now, what is this peace? Shalom. Shalom means wholeness, perfectness, completeness. It is finished. When Jesus died on the cross, He finished the work of atonement that was promised from the Old Testament, from the beginning. Jesus finished it. Jesus completed it through His death on the cross. What a wonderful foundation we have. That is the shalom of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all knowledge. The love of God surpasses all knowledge. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 says that. Now, what is this comprehension or knowledge? It is something that we, the human effort to know God or human effort to do things. But the peace of God, the shalom, is above all things. It surpasses all the human knowledge, all the human comprehension, all the PhDs, and all the human accomplishment. Now, let's make that connection to the Great Commission. Jesus starts with this: all authority has been given to me. What does that mean? Jesus is above all. He is above all the kings and queens and presidents and all of these things. Jesus is the King. He is above all things. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 wonderfully displays that. He humbled himself and he became like a servant. He became like us, but he obeyed until the death and on the cross. God exalted him. He is sitting in all heavenly places above all things. That is the shalom of God. But what does that do? It says, it guards your hearts and minds. Wow. This is an amazing connection. If Jesus is just all high above all things, but if he doesn't do anything for us, then, you know, there's no good thing. There's no benefit for us, right? But that high God, the shalom of God, which surpasses everything, guards your hearts and mind. Now, hearts is where the sin starts. That's where the lust comes. And the mind is where the plot begins. When you have a sinful heart, you plan to do something in your mind and you put it into action, right? That is the cycle or sinful train. That's why people act in their sin. But when God, the shalom of God, protects your heart, then your minds will be protected and your action will be protected as well. So the heart is so important. In verse 7, when you see that God will listen to our prayer, and when we do pray with thanksgiving, in verse 8, we want to see that all the problems will be gone and everything will be just fine and God will do amazing miracles so that 2021 would be perfect. The vaccine will come out before Christmas so that everyone can go back to school and everyone can go back to their normal life. The business will grow and we're going to have a fantastic year in 2021. That's why we want to see in the verse 7, right? However, that's not what we see here. It's 7. Verse 7 simply says, God will protect your heart. Okay, you may think, oh, this is a little bit disappointing. At least I want to see that God would protect our body from all the accidents. But the heart is so important. Again, that's where all the problems happen. So God is going to keep and protect the most important part of your life, which is your heart. The shalom of God is going to do that. Guard your hearts and minds, so that your action will be different. And that's the next verse, the final verse that we're going to see in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. You see the list here? You know, when your hearts are guarded by the shalom of God, you can dwell on this wonderful list. Whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, excellence, worthy of praise, this godly character, you know, will come out in your life, in your action. So let's think about this wonderful four alls here. Let's rejoice in God always, all the time, because Jesus Christ is with us always. Let's show our gentleness to all men so that we can share Christ Jesus with all nations. And do not be anxious in anything, but in everything, in all things, pray with thanksgiving and teach everything what God has taught you to teach. And then finally, the shalom of God, which surpasses all knowledge, the Jesus Christ, who has all authority in heaven and earth, will guard your hearts and minds, so that you can dwell on all these godly characters, and the people will see your life and they will be amazed by how God transformed you and shaped you. So they will be drawn to God. Even in 2021, whatever situation may happen, we still can do this. Rejoice in the Lord. So let's pray that the Lord would do amazing things according to this word, the passage that we read, and let's encourage one another and pray for one another that we can experience this wonderful, powerful work of God that was mentioned in today's passage. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you for your word. We pray that this word would deeply sink in our hearts so that we can not only understand about this message, but also we can implement and obey your word in our hearts, in our lives, so that we can experience your mighty works, so that more people would come to know you, Lord. We thank you, praise you. In Jesus' holy name, we pray it. Amen.